Hello and welcome to Bang Up Jobs with Broadway Ergonomics, a podcast hosted by me, Adam Jennings.
And me, Eric Schultz.
We're physical therapists and professional ergonomists. Each episode, we interview experts, assess the real value of ergonomic tools and products, and maybe even provide a little know-how along the way.
On today's episode, staying healthy at home. Thanks for joining us today for episode two. A little quick recap, if you caught episode one, I know we had a real good response to it. Had a lot of first-time listeners, as it's episode one. Okay, that was stupid.
It has to be. No, it's all good.
Allow myself to introduce myself. But really, we focused on working from home during this pandemic right now with COVID-19 sweeping across the nation. It's only gotten worse in the last couple weeks. Luckily, we're not on the front line working in the hospitals ourselves. Shout out to all the physicians, the nurses, healthcare staff, hospital staff that are doing that. Really appreciate everything that they do. And really what we focused our first episode towards was the worker that is now forced into the remote working scenario. So how do we get them set up at home comfortably, give them the tools, the tricks, the tips that they need in order to continue their work in a more comfortable setting at home without leading to some musculoskeletal issues that essentially cause injury or slow down their productivity during this difficult time.
Right.
A couple things that we talked about. Yeah, we talked about a lot of things from how to position your monitor at arm's length out, having the top quarter or the top third at eye level. The chair was a big topic, and we've gotten a couple of responses online from some viewers and listeners with that. So there's just a lot of information there. So if you haven't caught it or this is your first episode that you're listening to, please go back, listen to the first one. It's only 20 minutes long, gives you a little insight into what we're trying to do here.
And I think we had a couple of people who sent in questions about their own home office setup. So we'll spend a little bit more time talking about those questions that were sent our way near the back half of the episode. But before we do that, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't spend at least a little bit of time addressing the expansion of COVID-19 and its impact nationwide.
Troubling times out there right now. Adam and I are practicing some more social distancing. I'm in the Columbia office right now, and Adam is out in Lee's Summit. So,
As always.
But yeah, from what I've seen, so I've continued working. We are both physical therapists. We are in healthcare, so we are deemed essential. We've scaled back quite a bit. We've got rid of a lot of non-essential tasks that we're doing. Again, you have to realize that both Adam and myself are non-traditional PTs right now, so we're not stuck in the clinic being forced to see anywhere from 10 to 20 patients, post-op patients, or walk-ins off the street. So we're a little blessed at that. So we've been able to scale back a lot of what we do in terms of the ergonomics, some of the on-site health and wellness, or what we call early intervention. The way it's impacting us is we've gotten rid of a lot of unnecessary walkthroughs. So we avoid going to a specific site location that there are no reports of complaints. There, at that point in time, there's just no need to get on site and potentially expose someone or expose ourselves as well. So that's a big impact on us and financially too for us as well. That's something that we're monitoring each day. It's really interesting too, Adam. Have you been out much at all? Are you pretty much staying quarantined at home?
No, I have not gone anywhere. I mean, shoot, I went to Papa Murphy's the other day. That's been my big outing for the month.
Yeah. So did you wear any protective gear when you went out, or you just went out as you normally would?
No, actually, I didn't go as far as a face mask. We don't have any face masks yet. It looks like we're as a nation probably moving toward that direction. But for the past several weeks, actually for the better part of the last month, my wife and I both have been wearing latex gloves wherever we go.
Yeah.
So, or nitrile, I should say, nitrile gloves.
Yeah, sure. So Brett, Derek, and myself, we've continued with some of our, what we would call our essential companies. So we have a few big companies that are in filtration, which is a huge business right now. Some electrical work. So, breaker production, et cetera. And these are all deemed essential by the government. So they are up and running. And if not, they're even going into overtime. They're going gangbusters right now. And so as those workers are being pushed with those high demands, we are still seeing a need and we are still seeing some injuries. And so we don't want to neglect them. So we are still going out on site just at a much smaller capacity. Brett and myself, we're taking as many precautions as we can. In addition to the normal PPE that's required for most site visits, which is usually steel toe boots, a safety vest, which, you know, won't impact anything with Corona. The safety vest won't protect us at all from that.
Nice.
But I've started wearing that at all sites so that individuals can see me and kind of get maybe a social distancing boundary of, hey, I'm bright, I'm right over here. You at least know that I'm in your presence.
Now, are you advocating that out in the general public too?
I do not.
Big orange vest?
The CDC will not follow that guideline. But we do wear safety glasses. And then what else we're doing too is we have N95 masks that we have kind of a small stockpile of. It's not much. In fact, we donated half of them to a local emergency department just because we aren't on the front lines necessarily, but we still have to protect ourselves. So we're using those when we're on site, just with the general thought process right now that this coronavirus might be a little bit more potentially airborne or beyond that 6-foot boundary. And the last thing that we want to do is contaminate an entire plant if we're bringing it in from another region, and then vice versa too. You know, we have to protect ourselves as well.
Speaking of Broadway Ergonomics as a business and everything that you all have had to do to modify your operations, I know you know so much more about like the CARE Act and PPP loans for small businesses. Have you been looking at any of those and whether or not those are going to be necessary?
Yeah, sure. So for anybody that is a small business owner or involved in a small business, this is something that potentially has a huge impact for you. Essentially, it's part of the stimulus package. That $2 trillion package that the U.S. government passed a week ago or so. So it's not just the stimulus check that each individual or family might get, but there's also a section there for it's about $350 or $360 billion towards small businesses. And essentially what it comes out to is the idea and the purpose is to maintain employees. What they don't want us to do, or the small businesses to do, is to terminate or lay off employees. So the purpose of the CARE Act and the PPP, which is the Payroll Protection Plan or program.
That sounds about right.
Essentially what the design is to keep small businesses, keep their employees getting a weekly, monthly check, whatever it is, to retain their employee benefits. If you don't terminate an employee, if the employee is able to maintain internally to the company, then that loan has the potential to be forgiven completely by the government, which is, it almost sounds like free money. There's a couple other stipulations that you have to follow through. It's not open for everybody. You know, I think it's businesses 500 people and less. You know, for larger corporations and businesses greater than 500, there are other options out there, other interest rates and so forth. So there's some certain stipulations towards it. It's something that we're looking into and considering for ourselves, just because the impact of this is going to be widespread and really kind of unknown at the same time. You know, most companies were able to do a SWOT analysis, which is a strengths, weakness,
opportunities and threats.
We've done those throughout our time, and we are able to come to an idea of what is going to impact us and to what degree, but never did we ever think something this, you know, huge would have an impact on us. And so it is kind of a scary time. So this is actually a really good program. There are some good resources out there. What I can tell you from what I've looked into and the contacts that I've made is you should be able to, you can apply online through the SBA. There's a 7A and a 7B application. Essentially, the easiest thing you can do is contact your local lenders, because they'll be the ones that are going to give out those loans. They'll do your approvals. They'll be the ones doing, I suppose, the underwriting. And then from there, the government is going to protect those loans for those lenders. So hopefully that was able to answer your question there.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's something that's a side of the business that I have absolutely nothing to do with. And I'm grateful that you and Brad are the ones who have to deal with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's just something that, you know, as a small business owner myself, we have to be aware of. You know, it's a scary time. You know, the impacts of this is going to be greater than probably just 9/11 and some of the recent recessions. You know, as you mentioned, the overall impact is going to be similar to some of the world wars. We should be able to make it through this, but it's going to take a society. It's going to take a village for everyone to come together after this. And I know it's very stressful on many people that are having to work remotely. I mean, it's even more stressful on the individuals who have lost their employment because of this. But now, Adam, both you and I are non-traditional, non-clinical PTs. I know you're forced into working remotely as well.
So I'm in a privileged position. I usually work from home. So this has not been a significant transition for me. But that said, I've been spending a lot more time at home with my kids, who are getting more and more bored by the day. So that's been a big challenge for me. It's no secret. I work for a big healthcare IT company. I usually just don my ergo cape at night and do my ergonomics work on the side. But my department, my daytime job, has been really great about giving people the space they need to figure this stuff out. There haven't been any big rule changes to supervision. There have been no changes in how I've seen managers do their thing. I can't speak for the company as a whole, but what I've seen of the people and the leadership around me has been very, very supportive. Big caveat there. Much of my department is made up of former clinical folks. So nurses, therapists, behavioral health specialists. So a healthcare crisis makes sense to them. For our listeners who are managers or business leaders of any kind, I would say that if you don't have that perspective and you're not really sure how to proceed in these circumstances, just try to offer as much grace as you can to your employees. You know, people are going through more than you might realize right now. They're not going to treat a work from home order like a vacation. You know, I don't think you need to make people work with their laptop camera pointed at you, for example, which is something that I know a lot of businesses are turning to. You don't need to check in with your workers more than you usually would. I've worked in, with a lot of different people in a lot of different settings. And as a rule, what I've seen is that people work hard if you give them the trust. So that would be my two cents on how to respond to this as a manager in this crisis. But
yeah, there's a lot of resources out there too about trying to keep employees engaged just in general. And then this pandemic hits. So how do you keep them engaged when you don't have that daily sight? You don't have that daily contact or those daily meetings? I know Zoom, team meetings, all that are really taking off. And on a lighter note.
Yeah, Zoom has really cleaned up, huh?
Yeah, they're doing really well. Now, beware, there are some hackings and Zoom bombings. Have you seen that?
I saw that. Yeah, especially like I saw something about a professor out, was in California that I won't go into the details of what happened, but it wasn't a good scene.
I'll be doing a Zoom. Each spring, I teach a special skills seminar at the University of Missouri PT program, which is both our alma mater. Shout out to MU. So I'll be doing a Zoom class. So I really just hope nobody Zoom bombs in on one of those as I'm talking about ergonomic risk factors and talking to grad students about what it is that I do. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And all of that is just to say that I recognize that I'm in a position doesn't put me nearly in as tight a position as most of the people in our cohort, most of the professionals who share our titles. Once again, thank you so much to all of the therapists, the nurses, the doctors that are out there on the front lines. I can't imagine how tough that must be for you every day. But all of that said, for those of you who are lucky enough to have jobs where you're not being furloughed, you're not being laid off, and you're able to work from home, and you're stuck inside with this work-at-home order, we wanted to go through a couple of basic suggestions for how to stay sane and how to stay healthy while you're trapped indoors.
Yeah.
Eric, you want to kick us off?
I do. First off, I want to outline why it's extremely important to try to exercise, try to work out during this pandemic. The first one, and we've kind of maybe hinted to it a little bit, just with this isolation period, is the mental health aspect, depression. Exercise has a huge impact on depression for individuals. So if that's something that has impacted you in the past, or all of a sudden you're finding yourself sleeping in longer, taking longer naps, there's certain questions that you can ask yourself of, are there activities that you used to enjoy that you no longer get, enjoyment out of, which is really difficult because we've been isolated and quarantined for so long that we can't just go out and do some of those activities. But if you're starting to feel down about those kind of things, exercise can really help out. I went out for a jog and there was something just extremely emotional about it. The sun was out. To be able to see people out in the community walking and wave and see a smile on someone's face, it really was extremely emotional. And I am not an emotional runner. I'm usually fighting through a podcast or just trying to hit repeat on a favorite song just to make it up a hill. It was usually a struggle, but I almost found myself dancing as I was running and waving to people. The sun was out. The experience that I was getting just with exercise in itself, some fresh air, made me feel better about the situation that, hey, we are all in this together. We will get through it. So number one, the impact is definitely just for the mental health of everybody, just to kind of reset, get those dopamine levels, those serotonin levels right to where we need them. It'll help you feel better. Yeah. It'll make you feel better. And try to exercise with your family too. You know, that's the other big one is go for a jog with your family. Get on a bike ride. Last night, I got home from work. I worked a full shift. At one of my sites, I got home, I let Amanda, my wife, get on the computer, do what she needed to do. And I got the kids and the dog and we went for a mile walk just to get outside and get some fresh air. I know my wife enjoyed it because it gave her some quiet time. She had been at home with the two rowdy rugrats all day.
She has the opposite problem.
She did. Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, just getting out for your mental health, doing it with family members makes a big difference. And then the benefit of exercise has been documented through all kinds of research from diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, risk of stroke. And so there's just so many reasons why. But the big one that I really want to stress in a time like this is just for the depression or the onset of depression, some of those mental health issues.
You know, I read an article in Forbes earlier this week that talked about work. Speaking of what exactly what you're talking about working from home, feeling exhausted, feeling worn out. The author steered away from using the word depressed, I think because she didn't want to, you know, go down that clinical route. But she listed a number of excellent points as to why people are feeling that way. And a lot of them are pretty obvious, but there were three that seemed really relevant to what we do as physical therapists. I mean, you're tired because number one, you're doing this even though it wasn't your choice. I mean, if you have to stay inside, if you have to be in a place where you don't want to work, you don't want to be, that's pretty discouraging. The second thing is something that we talked about last episode. You miss that social interaction that you're used to. But number three, I think, is the most important point. And what Eric has been speaking to is you're probably not moving that much. The single greatest thing you can do to help out your mental, your emotional state is just to move to whatever degree that you can.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, movement is the body's best medicine. It really is. Some tips to kind of help you out with that. Number one is let the music play. Turn on your Sonos speakers, turn on whatever Alexa can do and just say, hey, play some music. Get the feet moving, get the heart pumping. You know, a great workout song can really boost your mood and, you know, mental aspect as well.
We have a dance party every evening, and my four-year-old has really gotten into AC/DC, which is nice. Awesome. It's way better than the Blippi that we've been stuck with the last year or so. So we do that for like a good 15 minutes right before dinner every day. It's the best part of the day.
Yeah. Some good tips. I have so you have two children. I have two children. Yep. Mine are 6 and 2. How old are yours, Adam?
4 and almost 2.
4 and almost 2. All parents right now that are being forced into remote working from home, I can promise you everyone is feeling the same. We are all failing. We are failing miserably at this because we have my 6-year-old, we were given a packet of schooling to do, right? So through CPS, we were expected to do homeschooling and they've been very willing to work with everybody on this because this is it's a global pandemic. So they're changing their thoughts and their outlook and their missions each and every day. Schools across the world are going through that right now. But what we're going through is I have to be an employee. I have to be also an employer, being, you know, part business owner. I also have to be a parent. And then all at the same time now, we have to be teachers. Those are three roles that are not designed to mix. You know, there is no way. So for all those parents out there, shout out to you that are doing this because this is difficult. And pardon my language, but this just sucks. You know, it's really, really hard.
Well, and I think that the point that I'm taking from what you're saying is we're all failing and that's fine.
Exactly.
Like you're allowed to fail at these things right now. No one is expecting anybody to be like a Pinterest parent and rise to the top and just do an amazing job. You're going to be messing up now and it's okay to give yourself some space to make those mistakes.
You know, a couple ideas that we have done at our house, cosmic yoga. Have you heard of it?
I have not.
Okay. Tonight, when you get home.
I actually have not. You didn't prepare
get
me
on
for
YouTube.
This.
That's right. I wanted to save something. Get on YouTube. It's also on Amazon Prime, I believe. Look up cosmic yoga. It's designed for kids. They're usually about 10 or 12, maybe 15 minutes. But it's an instructor for kids doing yoga, and it's usually based around under the sea or spaceships, you know, out in space. best thing I can recommend for your parents is get on the floor and do it with your kids and enjoy some of these memories that you're going to make. You know, eventually we'll look back at one day and remember all the time that we got to spend with our family and our loved ones. And we'll look back and say, do you remember doing cosmic yoga every morning? So that's one of the things that we do for Sophie's schooling, because she typically has a PE rotation, is at 9 o'clock every day, we go downstairs and we move. We do some kind of exercise. So I'll do maybe some of my exercise, which we have been blessed and fortunate enough. We actually got a Peloton bike about 1 week before all this quarantine and social distancing began. So it actually worked. Yeah, the timing worked out great. Got a 30-day trial. So if we don't like it, we can ship it back.
I'm going to bleep that out, though, because Peloton isn't paying for this podcast.
Yeah, but hashtag Peloton, not a sponsor. You could be. So that's what I've been doing quite a bit of, is since my gym is closed and I can't always take the kids on a run with me, is I go downstairs, I'll turn on cosmic yoga and I'll hop on the Peloton bike for a 15 or 20 minute ride, get a little exercise myself. The kids will be busy. Sophie will maintain her focus a lot longer than Griffin, who's my 2-year-old. He'll do 2 or 3 sets and then he runs around throwing a ball at me while I'm riding the bike. And but it's all good. So, you know, try some of those online workout videos. Yoga for kids, cosmic yoga, is a great spot. It's a great use of your time, and the kids absolutely love it.
And I think it's important to note here that we're not going to be laying out, and I don't think it would be beneficial for us to lay out a specific routine for you to do.
No,
you
know,
if you hit the basics, you do a little warm up, you walk around a little bit, maybe you stretch a little bit. Actually, you can head over to our site at BroadwayErgonomics.com to take a look at a couple of simple stretches you can do. But the really big thing is we're not asking you to like work up a sweat or get into crazy good shape during lockdown. I mean, I'm certainly not in good shape, just the opposite. I mean, while Eric has been riding his Peloton and running up hills and listening and playing his songs on repeat, I have just recently discovered bread baking as a hobby, which has done absolutely nothing to help me keep in shape.
Yeah.
But our bodies just do better when we move. You know, my big thing is going on a walk with my family or doing a dance party before dinner time. And I'm sure everyone listening to this podcast already knows this. You know, walking is better than not moving at all, moving to whatever degree you can, I should say. Now, what I've seen over and over again in my patients, certainly well before any stay-at-home orders were in place, is that saying exercise or telling a person that they should exercise can be pretty stress-inducing. You know, you might not be a particularly active person, and if you're not, absolutely no shame intended there. It can be pretty discouraging when someone comes up to you and says, hey, you should exercise. It's what's good for you. So instead, what we want to do is just encourage you to move to whatever degree you want to, whatever degree you feel like it. If you get up and you move and you get about 20 minutes of activity a few days every week, that's going to do a world of wonder in terms of your mental health and also your actual physical health as well.
Yeah. And don't stress out about, you know, what Adam was saying is exercise doesn't have to always be exercise. It can be chores around the house, gardening, mowing with a push mower, raking your leaves, washing your windows, getting out and cleaning the garage. I spent 3 days this week watching the kids. I let them chalk. We set up some hopscotch and they were riding their bikes and scooters and I was cleaning out the garage and it felt great getting that fresh air. I was also monitoring the kids for the most part. One of them ran out in the street a couple times, but we survived.
Nobody's counting.
But yeah, you know, don't just think of exercise as putting the foot to the pedal, putting the running shoes on and burning yourself out. But it's really just moving, getting the body to move. You know, Adam talked about doing some stretching. We'll make sure there's a couple resources posted on there. And when you're stuck at home, the most simple thing you can do is do what's called simple strengthening. Using your body weight, so doing squats, push-ups, anything where you're using your own body weight is very functional too. You know, it's often not very functional to load up 150 pounds on your chest and push it, because really, how often do you ever have to do that? But if you happen to lay down on the ground with your kids and you need to push yourself up, hey, that sounds a little bit more functional, right? So just do some really simple, you know, work out the big, large muscle groups is usually the best thing that you can do. So work the front of the arms, the back of the arms. Don't forget about the core and the abs and your low back and then your legs. Just come up with some simple fun things that you can do. There's so many free resources online right now of online workout videos that are basically giving away their programs for 30 days for free, just because everybody is stuck at home. Over 90% of the U.S. population right now is under some form of a stay-at-home order. So there's tons of resources out there. And if you have questions, certainly ask us. Let us know. We are physical therapists, so we have the skill set and the knowledge to help out with exercise. Sure. But there's a ton of fitness trainers out there that are giving away their programs for free at this time. So definitely recommend
that. That'll be a much better resource for y'all listening at home than we can provide just in audio format. Watch those videos. And if you do have questions, if you are concerned about any medical issues you might have, if you're looking into modifying things, if it seems like things that you're finding are a little bit too intense, really do send us a line at bangupjobs@broadwayergo.com. We'd be happy to get back to you.
Absolutely. We are still technically working during this time, and we have taken a few teletriage visits from some of our remote sites, which is actually really cool. So if we can do it over the phone, we're going to try.
Well, actually, Eric, I think that leads us into our very first segment.
Awesome. Well, let's move into mailbag here. We have two questions that we're each going to get a chance to kind of answer. So question one, Adam, came from one of our listeners. Is a Swiss exercise ball a good option for my home office?
Eric, do you want to take this one? Do you want me to take this one?
Well, I wanted your input before I gave mine.
You wanted my amateur opinion before you provide your expert advice.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah, so in the case of this person, they have a pretty great home office setup already, right? They have they showed us a picture of a sit-to-stand desk. They have a clear office space that's devoid of any clutter. They're able to maintain good sight lines and distance and follow that upper two-thirds to eye line rule, that monitor height that Eric has talked about. For Swiss balls, though, I can't say that even before I became a physical therapist, I was ever a fan, never found them comfortable. My experience working in ergonomics, though, has taught me that it doesn't ever seem to be like a good idea. I don't think that people use them once they get them. And I can't say that I have ever seen a pretty good example of proper ergonomic positioning of a person's back, neck, shoulders while sitting on a Swiss ball.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. There have been, when I hear about the Swiss ball at the desk, I 100% of the time always recall the Office episode with Jim and Dwight Schrute, and I believe they called it the fitness orb. Is that right? Yeah?
Yeah. You know, funny story. So Jim sees Dwight moving around trying to work his glutes and his hammies on a fitness ball, and Jim hops up and pops it with a pair of scissors.
Yep, exactly.
Fun story about that episode. They actually took that take like 20 times, and the one they ended up using where it popped and he fell to the ground wasn't supposed to happen that way, and I'll cut all of this off.
No. Oh, keep it going. I love this because I saw that exact same trivia too.
Oh, did you really? Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
Because it was supposed to be like a slow leak.
You can say, oh shoot, what is Jim Halpert's the actor's name? Anyway, you can John see him Krasinski. Like run away. Yeah, John Krasinski. Yeah, that's it. You see him run away because he didn't expect it to happen. Yeah.
So anyway, that is my first thought. I love that episode. Anytime anybody asks me that question. So the research typically does not support it. The way those are sold and marketed is it'll increase your tone in your core. It'll give you good low back strength, right? And that can be true if you have the ability to tolerate and contract your core and maintain that position for, I mean, how long are you working at your desk? 8 to 10 hours, right? Now, at home, it might be a little bit different. So that's why the home option is potentially one of the areas where I would say, hey, if you have the space, the funds, and you want to try one at home, go for it. I never allow any of my clients to bring one into the main office, though, because the big difference of what we've been talking about, too, is when somebody's in the corporate office, you're at your desk, you're doing meetings, you're there, very focused, gung-ho, working for that 8 to 10 hours. When you're at home, you have to deal with other things. You got the kid situation. You got to get up. You got to move around for flexibility and so forth. So the only option that I typically ever allow someone or one of my patients to even consider a Swiss ball as an office chair is at their home office with.
I did not expect
that. Yeah, with. And it's also contingent upon the fact that they also have an office chair. Because, so you can come up with a rotation, use it. But it also has to be, the number one thing is you have to make sure you get the right size Swiss ball. Because if you get one too low, your arms are raised up to the desk. If you get one too big, you're reaching down and slouching down. And really the key is, you know, just what you would do with a core exercise. I wouldn't use the Swiss ball much longer than that almost, because you're maintaining that position. So if you're, you know, thinking about an ab workout, 20 to 30 minutes, which sounds exhausting in itself, you know, that's what I would use it for at your home desk, and then either stand up or go back to your chair, because the body needs that support during those long work days or those long work periods. And what happens is, even if you think you're in a good postural position for your spine, it's going to flex forward. And when you flex forward, you're going to put that anterior, that forward compression on the front of that disc. And it may not hurt you immediately, but if you do that over and over again, you know, half the day here, half the day there, that's going to build up and put a lot of extra stress that's unnecessary on that low back.
Whatever you're using at your home setup, whether it's a Swiss ball or a perfect ergo office chair, you should always be following that 20-20-20 rule. Stand up every 20 minutes, look at something at least 20 feet away, give your eyes a break for at least 20 seconds. I heard a really good quote today. The best position, the best posture that you can hold is the next one.
Oh, that's a great, you know, yeah.
The goal is not to be in one static posture, however good it might look in a snapshot all day long. The goal is to keep moving. So if you're on a Swiss ball for a little while at home, that's great. If you're in an ergo chair, that's great. But just make sure you're changing things up. You're standing, you're walking, you're giving yourself a break at least every 20 minutes throughout the day.
Yep, exactly. And back to that 20-20-20 rule, that brings us to question two. And this is one that came to me from an engineer up in my plant that I covered yesterday. He's been working remotely on and off for the last 2 weeks. He got our handout on remote working. And on there, we outlined the 20-20-20 rule. And he asked, are there tips or tricks, or how can he keep up with the 20-20-20 rule during his at-home work hours?
Sure. Yeah, well, I mean, there's low-tech stuff, right? So you can put a little reminder on your desk, pop a post-it note on your computer monitor that says 20 minutes stand up or something like that.
Yep. You know, I love the low-tech just because typically when I'm doing a walkthrough or doing an office assessment, everybody has a post-it note available. So I usually just write 20-20-20 on it and I'll stick it on their monitor when I leave. The higher-tech version that you can do is get out your smartphone. Just about everybody in the workforce has a smartphone or some version of it. Set your timer for 20 minutes, or if that's too soon for you, do it to 30. But if you're following the 20-20-20 rule, so then it's going to notify you in another 20 minutes. So then in that hour period, you have then gotten up for 1 minute in total, and you've done that 20-20-20 rule or that series three times. You'll never be so excited to see that timer go off and say, oh, hey, it's time to get up and stretch. Make me feel a little bit better. Helps you out throughout the day. Now, I don't know about you. I have the kid rule at home. I can't sit longer than 20 minutes because daddy,
the idea that I could do that for 20 minutes anyway is laughable.
It's extremely laughable. Daddy, I need a snack. I need a bug. No, you don't. You just had one.
Well, thank you all so much again for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you want to hear more, you can check us out on your podcasting app or at bangupjobs.buzzsprout.com. If you're curious about our services, please head to our website, which once again is broadwayergonomics.com. Eric, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
You know, just get out, exercise. The other thing I can really recommend for you too, just along that mental health line, is reach out to a friend or a family member that maybe you haven't even talked to in a while. Try to offer a FaceTime or a Zoom or a Skype just to see them. We did that with my family. We had my aunt and uncle on from Nevada, my sister and her family over in Wyoming, my mom who's just across town, but we can't even see her. She's a nurse. So she's kind of on some of the frontline stuff. And then we got on my grandma from Wentzville. She didn't get to do the FaceTime, but she just did a phone call in. So we had basically our entire family that we were going to get together, you know, in Easter time. And we got to see each other. We got to talk. And we spent, you know, we planned for about 30 minutes and it turned into 45. And it just made everybody feel a little bit better, you know, reassured us that, hey, we're all in this together. We expressed our concerns, what we're grateful for. And just seeing family and seeing some friends was just, it just went a long way in kind of surviving this current pandemic.
You can head to broadwayergonomics.com to check out more information about our business and our tips for working safely from home or at the office. I want to thank Blue Dot Sessions for the use of our theme music, Highway 430. If you have questions about ergonomics, working from home, or anything else that you'd like us to answer on the air, shoot us a line at bangupjobs@broadwayergo.com or tweet at BroadwayErgo. Thanks again, and stay safe out there.